Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high-growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Welcome to another episode of Emerging Enterprise. I'm your producer, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I have our host, Van Baird, in the studio with me.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing good. This is, I think, a record. We've had, what, three shows in a row you've been here? So,
and you.
Exactly. And I've been here, too, so it's been a good thing going on. So what have you been up to?
You know, it's just work. It's just living the dream. Actually, we went to orientation at Samford University this week for our oldest.
Oh, man. Yeah. Is that tough for you? Are you ready? Are you just like, yes, all right, you're out of the house.
It's time for it to go. It's just we all get to that point.
Exactly.
So, well, I'm excited to be here for 3 weeks in a row, and I'm excited for our guest who we had to poke, prod, all but bribe to get on the air. He was a little shy about coming on.
Well, you're having him follow Hannah Brinchard like that.
And then we do that to him. No pressure at all. But Daniel Kosmala is in the studio with Radical Mentoring. And what in the world are you so worried about?
I'm just not a big public speaker kind of guy. I'd like to because those people get paid great money, but... So
absolutely
no.
This is the start right here. You're going to look back on your public speaking career and all the success you have. You're going to go, it all started here on Emerging Enterprise.
Yeah, and nobody's listening. Don't.
Just, I think my mom listens, so we have one listener.
There better be because I'm supposed to say cupcake, right?
Oh, that was quick.
That was really quick. I was hoping you were going to really put it in there like somewhere else. So what are you doing today? Well, yeah, you know, I like to go to the cupcake
ATM
store.
And, yeah. But we'll digress. Let's actually have a serious conversation about a really cool organization. Daniel, you didn't start this organization.
No, I'm not that smart.
No, but and it's been around for a while. But let's just kind of kick it off with what is Radical Mentoring and question 1A, why the two different Twitter names?
Go into Radical Mentoring first,
yeah,
and then the
church.
Sure. All right. Radical Mentoring came out of my boss's head, Reggie Campbell, mm-hmm. Who's a big former / current entrepreneur investor in Atlanta. And he discovered that he had all these mentoring relationships with guys around Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He was sitting down with them one-on-one all the time because they wanted his time because he had been successful in his career and he had turned around his marriage from a pretty big mess up early on. And so all these guys wanted to be mentored by him, and he felt like he was wasting his time because he felt like it was more of a friendship than anything else. So he started he heard somebody say more time with fewer people equals a bigger impact. So out of that, he started mentoring a group of 8 guys every year in 2000. He's done that for the last 14 years. So he's starting his 14th group in September. And so he's mentored 100 and something guys, and they all come in with all sorts of issues and usually leave having fixed one or half of one of those problems.
Yeah.
That's just kind of a little light plug at him.
I've heard he's pretty good.
Yeah. And so Radical Mentoring was birthed out of his experiences as a group mentor in the late 2000s. Mm-hmm. He realized that he could make this into a replicable process and put all the curriculum and stuff that he was using online, mm-hmm. and basically create a structure for people to work with.
Yeah.
We say that we give people a track to run on and they get to decide what kind of race. So you can create a free account on the website and then we guide you from step one to finding your mentor or finding your mentees, the guys that want to be in your group, having them apply all the way through
right. The
end of the mentoring group and having them fill out a survey to let the mentor know if he did a good job or a bad job, if their lives were changed or they're just kind of the same where they were. So I was brought on in the beginning of 2013 to kind of supplement. They called me a media marketing guy. And I've kind of absorbed a few other roles along the way.
Okay.
We just doubled our staff because it was just me. And we just hired another guy a couple of weeks ago, and we're growing more than ever, obviously.
Yeah.
Never had 2 staff members before.
Right.
And then your Twitter question. our official Twitter account was technically Reggie's account for the longest time.
Oh, okay.
Because people knew Reggie, so they would recognize that. But Reggie rarely touches Twitter.
Right. Couldn't even find him. Is he still on there?
Yeah, we created an account that has like 0 followers.
Okay.
Just so if people look for Reggie Campbell, they'll find him and it'll say, go to this account, follow Radical Mentoring.
Okay.
So we just transitioned and did a switch to make it an official Radical Mentoring account.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, well, anybody in business, anybody with friends can echo the smaller the better, right? Most people don't have dozens and dozens of really, really close friends. Mm-hmm. And so this philosophy that Reggie tapped into isn't unique by any stretch. I mean, he would go back to Jesus on that. But even from a business standpoint, there's so many leadership organizations. There's different organizations that say, hey, we've got a track you can run on. What makes this one different than the dozens upon dozens out there that anybody else could choose?
That's a great question. I think the biggest difference that I've seen since discovering what this is and working on it, I'd say the biggest difference I've noticed is the intentionality behind it.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of other groups, they meet weekly or bi-monthly or whatever, and it's, if you have another conflict, oh, whatever, no big deal. Just come to the next meeting. And there's not a high level of accountability or keeping people in check for making sure that stuff gets done.
Right.
Whereas radical mentoring is set up so that everyone signs a contract at the beginning of the group, or we encourage them to do this.
Okay.
And the contract says, I'm going to be at every meeting, because at the very first meeting we go to with the whole group, we're going to schedule out our year of group sessions in advance. So they come with a, quote, wife-approved calendar if they're married.
Okay. It's critical.
It is. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then they sit at the table for an hour, however long it takes, and they say, okay, January, when are we meeting? All the way through the end of the year, or whenever they start and end their groups. And say, we're going to commit to being here no matter what, because we obviously have no conflicts now. No matter what arises later, we're going to be there.
Wow.
So then you come up along with these guys who, you know, you get 11 months down the road and they're like, oh, well, my boss called and I need to stay late today and I can't make the group. And so Reggie's had that happen a couple times with his groups. And he said, you know, you made a commitment to not only me, but to the other guys in the group. And if you're not going to show up tonight,
don't show up at all.
Don't show up at all. Don't worry about coming back.
Whoa.
We'll finish the group without you, because you need to stick to your word and your boss needs to know that you're a man of your word. So stick to it. And that level of intentionality has been probably the biggest difference maker I've seen, because that carries through the entire group. It sets the tone from day one until the end.
Wow. Because I was wondering, how do people stay engaged without having to pay?
Yeah. We're a complete nonprofit, so we subsist on a donation basis, I guess, if you want to call it that. We're not going out to solicit donations from random people. We're fully supported by golf tournament board of directors, et cetera.
I want to touch on the board of directors later, because that's a pretty strong board that exists there. So that's it. You get one chance and to miss, and then you're out. So there's no exceptions.
Yeah. I mean, generally, there's going to be exceptions, because we can't control everything.
Sure.
But we encourage them to take it as seriously as we would if I were to run a group. That's what I would do.
So if I'm starting a group, I got how many guys in the group?
That is completely up to you.
Okay.
We have people running groups of three, because they claim that they couldn't find anyone else in their community that wanted to be mentored by them, which I don't believe. Or they can have four is usually the minimum we recommend, because beyond that it starts to get too small. And then a maximum of eight. Because we found that beyond eight, it gets a little bit out of control. You don't have enough time for everyone to talk and say what they want to say within the meetings.
So what do you think? Because you said there's some guys that think they can't find more than three people in their community. But what is it about? It's a pretty, in my mind, a pretty split group of guys that are willing to be mentored, and those that go, good.
Yeah.
Right? Is it life events? Is it marriage? Is it work? What drives people to want to even be mentored?
A lot of guys come to Reggie wanting to be mentored because of his success as an entrepreneur. So they say, oh, he's been successful in business. I'd love to be, quote, mentored by him.
Okay.
And
strictly from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not what they get. They get
the whole personal.
Yeah. They get everything else on top of that. So, he gets a lot of that, and then you get the guys who have completely screwed up their marriages, and that's one of the bigger issues that we harp on is marriage, because it's so important to all of us. So the marriage thing is a big deal. So there's a little bit of both coming in from that end, but a lot of the times you just get guys who have heard about the program, and all they want is to be a part of the program because they've heard good things about it, and then you get the guys who come in that don't want to be a part of it, but a close friend did it and was changed, or their wife is forcing them to do it, or something along those lines.
Well, I think at the crux, there's so many guys, you know, whether we're, and we just call them because it's a good name to define a certain year you were born. There's millennials who are actually, they're sponges. They want to learn, because I think that's a big misnomer in that age group that they think they know everything. It's not true. I mean, they appreciate and see people who have gone before them and want to learn from that.
Yeah.
But what is it about this particular group that, that causes guys to get so close so quickly?
I think the biggest thing is that we put a high emphasis on lifting the veil early on in the group.
What do you mean?
The first session is generally a get to know each other, schedule the year in advance, and then just kind of do a couple icebreakers, get to know you kind of things. And then the second group is usually what we prescribe them to go on a retreat together.
Okay.
And that can be a weekend deal, it can be a 2-day deal, or it can be just one overnight, or it can just be 12 hours together.
Okay.
But what we tell them to do during that time is to fit in their second monthly meeting, which every monthly meeting is 3 hours. You talk about a book you've read in between. There's usually some memorization of scripture. And then there's a homework assignment of some sort, usually having to do with improving your marriage.
Okay.
But it's not just marriage focused. And then after that, at the second meeting, you do that. And then you have everyone tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with the mentor. And the key for every group is that the mentor can't hold back. If the mentor holds anything back, he's setting the tone for the rest of the group for guys to hide stuff.
Okay.
And that's the reason that we have groups where guys go through and they're like, it was all right.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. My life's not changed. I'm the same as I was before. Whereas you have these other groups where the mentor bears their soul, tells the guys, you know, I was addicted to drugs for 15 years. I was an alcoholic for 20 years. I abused my wife, whatever it is. And then I was able to redeem that, turn it around, and get my life on track. If a mentor starts the retreat and the group by telling that story early and not holding anything back, telling them all the gory, crappy details, then the other guys are going to follow suit.
Yeah.
The other guys are going to say, hey, me too. And I'm in the middle of it. I'm not beyond it. I'm in the middle of it, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that we do this, is because when a mentor sets the tone early on and people follow suit, that's where life change happens.
So that's the model that works
best.
And it sounds like Reggie literally modeled that from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, even in business, we appreciate transparent leadership.
Right.
And vulnerability to a certain extent. So this is taking it to a higher level of there's nothing to hide. You can't hide anything. In order to grow as a leader and to grow as a husband, you can only get out of it what you put into it. And if you're going to hold back, you're not going to get as much out of that.
Yep.
So obviously some people believe in this process. I'm looking at the board of directors here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about H&A Consulting, Principal Venturons, if nobody knows who that is, John Ritchie, Web Industries, Coca-Cola Consolidated, Georgia Skin Cancer and Aesthetic Dermatology, Alliance Precision Plastics, and the president of CXO Staffing. I mean, all these guys have gone through the program, right?
They've either been a mentor or they've gone through the program and been affected in one way or another.
And so you want to go to learn business, you know, there's going to be that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you think this has been so effective to do both? Is it just the transparency? Is it the questions and the track that you give them to run on? I mean, tell us a little bit more about what kind of information do you guys supply?
The information we supply is, you know, when a mentor starts to create a group, we have a track basically of 24 topics on the website that they can pick from. And a lot of it is faith-based for the first year, kind of help guys get on track. And then we're actually building out some curriculum for second or third years. For if guys want to do a mentoring track just based on business or what, or if they want to do one solely for their marriage, we're working on curriculum for that. But the first year, it's a lot of figuring out who you are, what your values are, how you're going to parent, how you're going to use your influence in the world at home and with people directly around you, and then how you're going to I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but essentially change yourself from the inside out.
Right.
So we have those curriculums on the site, and we have recommended books to read, recommended discussion topics. We have an agenda for each meeting, for mm-hmm. each topic, that if a mentor says, I have no idea what I'm doing, they can follow a minute-by-minute agenda of how to run their group.
Wow.
And then just add their own twist to it.
Wow. I think it's fascinating to me that you have that kind of accountability without money.
Well, I it's definitely important. And finding that thing that makes people actually want to show up and have that accountability mm-hmm. without the financial incentive. Because normally you hear, well, someone has skin in the game for yeah. them to take it seriously. But it sounds like you're building a community of people that are holding themselves self-accountable because they have people that they're helping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's got to have a ripple effect mm-hmm. in their life.
It does.
Yeah, for sure. So there's books, obviously, that Reggie has published.
Right.
And his newest one is What Radical Husbands Do.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that project.
It's been interesting. Reggie's written three books. This is obviously being the third. And the first two, he went through traditional publishers, was in bookstores and stuff. And with this third book, he decided he wanted to self-publish it.
Yep.
And
was that right about the time you got hired?
No.
Okay.
No, I'd been there about a year, and I've read, he's had the manuscript for a while. This is 31 years of successful marriage and 13 years of failed, messed up marriage yeah. combined into a book. And he's had the manuscript for a while and decided it was time and came to me and said, I want you to self-publish this. I said,
because you had experience with that.
Right, yeah. The 24-year-old has plenty of experience self-publishing. So he brought that to me, and I said, I would love to do that. I'd love to try and do that.
Right, right.
So he gave me the manuscript, or really, we played tug of war over it with the editing and all that. But he gave it to me and said, go. And I had to go and hire designer, editor, formatter, find a printing company, a print-on-demand company, and now we're in the midst of trying to figure out how in the world do you successfully market a self-published book to sell enough that it breaks even on what you've invested in.
Right.
Well, I will let you on just a little secret, because I've interviewed probably hundreds and hundreds of authors.
Yeah.
Self-publishing is no different than actually having someone publish it for you, because if you have a publisher, they still make you do all the work, all the marketing, yeah. everything. But they're going to take a lot of your profit away. So,
but you have their network.
Not really. No, I've talked to so many authors that say, if I could go back and do it, I would have just self-published, because it's not, you think it's that illusion of that network.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting.
The huge benefit of self-publishing is obviously the royalties.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
traditional publisher, you make a few bucks a copy.
Right.
Whereas with self-publishing, you're paying the printing cost, which is anywhere from $2 to $4 a book, depending on how many you want to order for yourself mm-hmm. or whatever. And then you pay, you let Amazon or whoever the distributor is take a cut of that.
Okay.
And then everything else is profit. Revenue, probably not profit yet.
So how many did y'all print?
We printed 500 for ourselves to have in the office to hand out to people, give to people, mm-hmm. endorsers, et cetera. And then it's available on Amazon in digital and physical copies, and we've sold a few hundred copies already, which is great, because the typical self-published book, I think the average sells around 100 copies.
Those are all your friends and family.
Right. Too. Right. And so we've tripled that at least, which is great, but obviously we have higher aspirations for that, because we think it can change a lot of marriages and help a lot of guys.
Definitely. Well, I'm excited to read it here.
Yeah, we got copies here. And we've actually tweeted out a link to the book's website, which is just the name of the book, radicalhusbands.com. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite the same title, but radicalhusbands.com, and then there's a big buy button.
Well, I think this book looks great as well, and this is a weird thing to say, but it feels great too. Yeah. I've never felt a cover like this, but I'm just sitting here mm-hmm. and I'm just touching it. So
yeah, that's one of the things we loved about it, because we were thinking we might see a drop in quality. And when we initially got the first proof, we thought we were going to have some quality issues. Mm-hmm. And then we got some more proofs, and it turned out it was just...
Yes, it's
apparently,
nice.
If you take a paperback like that and move it from being in a warm box to a cold office, it'll shrivel really quickly.
Huh.
So you have to kind of temperature control if you're holding the books yourself.
Never would have thought of that.
Yeah, I had no idea, because the first one we got kind of curled up on us. And, yeah. But after that, we had no problems.
So you really have to kind of temper... Interesting.
Yeah. So but you learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I mean, obviously, if you look at the cover, it looks fantastic. We had a designer, Russell Shaw, who's based out of Atlanta.
Okay.
He's done a bunch of work for Catalyst and Plywood Presents in the last few years. He's
gotcha.
Really talented.
Okay. We'll be sure and give him a shout out here in just a little bit as well. So, so you got this project going on. What else is going on with y'all's organization?
Oh, man, there's always a lot. It feels like it since there's only two of us on staff.
Right.
But we're always trying to grow and in a sustainable way. Because in the past, it's only ever really been one person on staff at a time. Mm-hmm. And when they brought me in, another guy was transitioning out.
Okay.
And now we've hired a guy, and I'm not transitioning out.
Right. You have to learn to work together.
It's learning how to work together, learning how to delegate to him, yeah. and then use his skills in a way that will help us grow this and grow the reach. Because that's the biggest thing. That's right. Our main goal, is to get as many men engaged with radical mentoring as possible. Because we want this to be a thing where we could drive to, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, and talk to 50 people, and at least one of them has heard of us or heard of radical mentoring or has been affected by it in some way.
Okay.
So we're working on obviously building our reach. We've been somewhat lackadaisical, mostly my fault, on the social media front. So our new guy is working a lot on that and doing a killer job. And then one of the biggest things we're working on is trying to create radical mentoring chapters throughout the country.
Okay.
Because we have guys, we threw an initial conference, the first annual radical mentoring conference this past March. We had 100 and something guys there for a weekend where we brought in Andy Stanley and John Lynch and some other speakers to just pour into these guys who are part of our tribe for a weekend. And out of that, we gained some guys who had just been brought by friends that are now sold out for it. Guys that we had that we're mentoring now are even more crazy about what we're doing. For some reason, they just like us, I guess. and those guys, we were kind of flirting with the idea of creating a position that'd be like a regional radical mentor or a regional champion for us. Somebody that would hold meetups in their local city, since we're based in Atlanta and we only can do so much around here.
Right.
And we've got guys in Charleston that are crazy about us, or in Seattle, or Orange County, California, and equipping them with the ability to hold a meetup for people in their community interested in mentoring, or getting it in churches in the area that might be interested in the program and not know how to start but want to work with local people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really working to find the best way to supplement that kind of work, and the best way to create champions for people that aren't directly within our reach.
Yeah, because you do have the power of social media there to help spread that word. But then to have it go out on a consistent level.
And we always want to go an extra step further for these people. We don't want to just create guys who, you know, are in love with us, but we're not in love with them.
Right.
That makes sense. Not a weird way.
Right. No, I'm a, but I just set that on air. So, so where is that where you see radical mentoring going? Is more from a city approach to a regional approach?
Yeah, that's ideally the big picture. Is we would love to be able to have, you know, not just this. We have a community in Atlanta, a vibrant community of, you know, 100 guys who are actively mentoring 4 to 8 guys, and we want that in places around the country. You know, not confined to a church or to one guy doing it in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
But to a community of people that can rely on each other, just like the guys in Atlanta have been doing for the last 2 years or more.
So is that just a natural multiplication effect that happens?
I wouldn't consider it natural.
No.
I mean, I think if you let it be natural, you run the risk of just being too lazy. I think it's something we need to foster and actively being engaging along the way.
So do guys that have been in a mentoring group, do they stay together long term? Do they multiply?
That's completely up to them. The idea when they sign the contract that says they'll be at every meeting, there's also a stipulation that says, as part of being in a radical mentoring group and being mentored, I agree that when the time is right and I'm at the right stage in my life, I'll mentor a group of guys.
Okay.
So the idea is that Reggie's mentored 104 guys and that 10 to 15 years from now, those 104 guys will be mentoring 800 guys.
So it's when they're ready on their time.
Exponential.
Right.
So yeah.
That's the hope.
That so that was, we'll and that's what I was referring to as the natural growth. But now you guys are being a little bit more intentional.
Right. So we want to be able to keep up with each guy that's been mentored and say, you know, even if I'm not here in 5 years, come back to him, send him an email or a phone call or stay in touch with however we possibly can and say, hey, are you thinking about mentoring anytime soon? Is there anything we can do that would encourage and equip you to be ready to do that.
So you're trying to manage that at an organizational level.
Right.
So what's making that easy? Where are the struggles?
I don't know that there's anything easy about staying in touch with people long term. I'm figuring out because emails change, phone numbers change. People don't respond to emails ever, it seems like. And they're always too busy for a phone
texting?
Call. Texting? You know, we could try texting. I think we'd probably get ignored.
Who was it that said it was the largest social media platform?
Really?
Well, when you think about it, I mean, if it's social, it's a digital format. And we all can respond to our friends, to our coworkers via text.
Wow.
I'm trying to think what conference I was in that somebody referred to it as that. And but if you stop and think about it, that's the easiest way to get a hold of people.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
But then do they feel like you're invading their privacy if you do that?
I don't think they should opt out. Yeah. Now, if it's a group kind of like, you can type in STOP to get out. I'm talking about like just a real text to a personal, you know, there's ways of getting that out without it sounding you know, like a spam message.
Yeah. No, I can see how that might work.
But, you know, that's, well, even the reach of the book though, I mean, has this opened more doors for you guys?
As far as
having published a book like this and
I mean,
on the tale of the publishing being done.
The idea is that the book for us is kind of like any other fundraiser or like the golf tournament.
Yeah.
The idea being that if we invest so much in that, hopefully we'll get a return to help continue to support Radical Mentoring. And whether or not we're hoping that people, there's a shout out in the back of the book to Radical Mentoring. There's a number of references to Radical Mentoring on the website because we want them to be intimately linked.
Right.
So that people who just find the book on Amazon or whatever will eventually stumble onto Radical Mentoring and say, oh, maybe that's something I need to look into if my marriage is so screwed up or whatever it is.
Right. So from a self-publishing standpoint, would you guys do that again?
Yes, I would.
You would?
I've always been a big reader. I've always loved books. I was the nerd in elementary school that got all the accelerated reader points. You remember that program?
Yeah, like the limo ride with the pizzas and...
Yep.
That,
nice. Yeah,
this is awesome. So I've always been a reader and I'd never considered publishing as something I'd be interested in, and I loved the entire process.
Wow.
It was something I wasn't expecting. I just liked having control, well, relative control. I didn't write it. I didn't get to pick the cover design. I just worked with the people and made it happen.
Okay.
And being able to go from seeing everything on a computer screen to then holding the book and now getting it out and trying to affect people's lives for the better is something that I've got an itch for. So if he wants to self-publish a book, or if anyone else wants to self-publish a book and needs help, I'm interested.
Is the man. So is the book available just on the website and on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. It's on iBooks. And we're working to get it in bookstores. Obviously, that's one of the big barriers for self-publishers.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not easy because everyone wants to get their book in a bookstore,
right.
None of the bookstores want to hear it.
Huh.
So there's a big, big wall to cross there that we're currently grappling with.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And that is the biggest drawback.
Yeah.
You don't have the bookstores on their supplies channels.
Yeah. The beautiful thing about self-publishing and using print-on-demand services is that we don't have to fulfill all our own orders.
Okay.
So if somebody goes to Amazon and they order a physical copy of the book, then that goes to Lightning Source, who's our printer, our print-on-demand service. They get the order, they fill it, they ship it, they send it.
Wow.
And then they take out their cut for printing the book, and then they send Amazon their cut, and then they just send us. Send us a monthly statement that says, you've sold this many copies, and this is what your profit's been, which is normally triple what royalties are for a traditional publisher.
Right. Gotcha.
Depending on your price point, obviously.
Okay. Well, this whole process, you know, comes back around to people. I mean, without people, you guys don't have a company. And then, so where do you marry, you know, digital and the resources that you have there, printing? How do you marry that with relationships and just how do you continue to invest in those people?
That's a great question. That's one of the things we're working on. We haven't been good at it, at investing in our tribe in the past, I would say. We've just been giving them what they want instead of giving them what they don't know they want.
Okay.
Which is, that's one of my goals to do before I, if I ever leave this job or move on, that's one of the things I would like to build, is a system where we're not just delivering what people expect with Radical Mentoring or with the book, but that everything we do goes above and beyond, whether that's a little note. It's kind of like what you do with relational equity. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a little note or listening to them and hearing what they want or giving them something they don't know they want yet.
Right.
But just going above and beyond and helping them out. It's giving them a phone call and encouraging them because they hit a rough spot in their mentoring group. Or if it's their best friend's marriage is in shambles and you heard that they were looking for something, and you say, hey, here's this book. It's a low-risk way to help them.
Okay.
You know, we would love to be able to just pour into people without expecting anything in return.
Well, that's cool to hear, and your heart shows up in a lot of different places online, and you've actually got your own website. Mm-hmm. How did you score the .la URL?
Just got lucky that my last name ends with LA.
I mean, it's the first time I saw it, I thought it was a typo.
Yeah, that's a friend had sent me a thing and said, "Hey, you need to start owning your content, and there's a short link available. You could turn it into a Bitly," and I was like, well, why don't I just buy that domain and use it for my website?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. I don't know that there are many other people that have the last two letters in their name as their URL.
I'm looking for v.an now. That's awesome. But you blog on there, and you've got a lot of things going on in your life, not the least of which is that you're a newlywed.
Yes.
So this is for a book like this to come out,
it's timely.
Right there. Yeah.
Even if I had never published this book and it had been written by somebody else and it had been given to me before I got married, like it was, I would still say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just a little disclaimer. I read the manuscript for this book last year before I got married. Mm-hmm. Probably in April, May, or June, I got the manuscript from Reggie, and he was like, I've had some experience in marriage. I know you're getting married. Why don't you just take a look at this, see what you think,
okay,
and we'll talk about it. And I've told him this. I don't think he listens to me when I tell him, but the advice in that book saved my marriage before it started.
Wow. How profound.
You should have that quote in the book.
That's the biggest endorsement you could possibly have. Well,
if only I had a platform.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to give you right now, Daniel. So, well, you looks like, I was reading your bio, you want other platforms. You say you dream about starting businesses and then shoot your own ideas down.
Most of my ideas are not good.
Which is you know, the world of the millennial, right?
I mean,
that's just, but like, what's holding you back? What ideas are, what's next for Daniel?
I have no idea.
Stop. I do not believe that.
No. I've been, since this self-publishing thing started, I've been kind of gripped with an idea for a business that it hasn't let go. Most of the others let go because they really are terrible. And that's not self-deprecating. It's true.
Okay.
The business idea is just taking the self-publishing platform and the print-on-demand service and leveraging that for authors who don't want to go through the crap of working with a traditional publisher and having to either pay a traditional publisher because they're not getting an advance and they're unknown. Right. And they don't want to have to do all this heavy lifting, marketing, and getting the word out. But they want to get their work published. They want to retain some creative control. And they actually want to make some money off of it.
Right.
Which
so you would broker that.
Understand. Yeah. So use that to their advantage.
Yeah.
And invest. My idea is that you could essentially invest in an author like an entrepreneur or an investor or an angel investor would invest in a startup.
Mm-hmm.
So say the company would say, okay, we've got a $20,000 budget for your book. We've read through it. We've gotten it vetted by a number of people. We think it has potential. We'd love to work with you. We're going to invest $20,000 in your book, and you owe us nothing to the author. And then say, but while we're saying that, all the royalties will go to cover that $20,000. And once we've passed that mark, you'll get
the remaining,
you know, 60, 40, 70, 30, whatever the split is. But something that's focused on authors who love to write and have a message that could change people's lives. Those are the kind of stories that I would love to tell and be able to tell while pouring into an author and making them feel like they're valued and that their work doesn't suck and that they have something worth sharing.
So what are you waiting on? You went to Hive, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful thing is that this book that I Self-Published for Us is almost a case study for me.
Right.
I've been documenting stuff along the way, trying to figure out what worked, what didn't work, what would I never do again, what would I absolutely have to do, how much lead time would I need for a book, and then figuring out, okay, how do I find a manuscript?
Right.
How do I vet manuscripts and not piss a lot of people off?
Right.
And then how do I find the money to be able to invest in an author like that,
right.
with somebody who's willing to take that kind of risk?
So would it still be called self-publishing?
I don't think so. Seems like a self-assisted publishing or something. Yeah.
Community publishing.
Community publishing. Yeah.
That was actually one of the ideas I had for the name of the business was Community Press.
Yeah. Have you got that URL yet?
No.
Yeah, get on that, man.
If you're listening and you don't get, if you get that, we're going to have issues.
Communitypress.ss. Communitypray.ss. You need to get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because all those URLs are going to be popping up soon.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many different URLs coming now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they have to, or else the web would explode, right? So, well, listen, I'm sorry it took us so long to get you on here. It was not our fault, but...
I know, it was definitely my fault. I was a little scared.
So, no, hopefully you came out alive. You survived it.
Yeah.
And we got to help spread the word about Radical Mentoring and this great program. So... thanks for coming on. Anybody listening, there's a couple of different ways you can connect with them. If you want the book, go buy the book.
That'd be great.
That website is radicalhusbands.com. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go to the actual website for Radical Mentoring, it's radicalmentoring.com. And there's all sorts of information on there. Links to all their social media sites. Looks like you guys are on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Vimeo, YouTube. And of course, you can get the RSS feed on there. Daniel Kuzmala, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
You too.